Hello and welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the knitting podcast that's mostly about the projects. This week, Hertz and Technique. Hello, this is episode 45. My name is Heather. You can find me on Instagram at The Ordinary Knitter, on Twitter as at The Ord Knitter, and on Ravelry as Ordinary Knitting. Before I launch into my progress with Hertz, I wanted to mention that the podcast is coming up to a year old. I started this podcast at the end of April 2016. I'd begun to feel that I had a few things to say about knitting, and I'm really delighted that a few people choose to listen to them. Most of my friends don't knit. One of my very good friends does, but most of the people I see around me day to day don't knit. So all the things I want to discuss about knitting, they sort of build up and I don't have anyone to talk to about them. So I felt that I wanted to share those things, and being somebody who doesn't spin, doesn't properly design, I don't come up with really proper, thought out, tried and tested designs that other people would want to use. I hack about at existing patterns and I can sort of throw together a basic sock or a basic hat, but I would never call that a design, and it certainly isn't something anybody else would ever want to use. So I'm not in those higher echelons of skilled knitters who are really in the zone of designing and knowing all about different yarns and really with their finger on the pulse, and I don't go to conferences or festivals or retreats. I'd love to, actually. I have to say, it's not because it doesn't appeal to me at all. I would love to go away on a knitting weekend. Helen Stewart of Curious Handmade often talks about the retreats that she organises, plus she goes to various countries in the world to go to events, and it sounds wonderful, and I would really love to do things like that, but my life just isn't set up that way at the moment. I'd like to think that will change eventually. So the name I chose, The Ordinary Knitter, it very much is a description of what my knitting is. I use very ordinary yarns. Some of them are very carefully thought out. They're very much a choice. It's not just whatever Aldi has to offer. And actually only about half the yarn I buy is from there. I have all sorts of things from other places as well. But I use free patterns, not always. Hertz is a notable exception. But the knitting I'm doing is well within the reach of anybody who is motivated enough to want to learn how to do jumpers, hats, cowls, scarf. Do you even need to learn how to do a scarf, really? But ordinary is what it is. So there's no need ever, when you're thinking of listening to this podcast or thinking, will I listen further, don't be concerned that I'm going to be talking about terribly esoteric elements of knitting. I'm really not. I'm just here to chat about the ordinary day to day. And having said that, let's get on with it. I said last week that I had finally found a sport weight pattern for a top for me. This is something I've been looking for quite a while. I decided to include paid for patterns in my search because the free searches of free patterns, not just on Ravelry, were not bringing up anything that I wanted to make for myself. So I bought for €6 a pattern called Hertz, that's H-E-R-Z, it's German for hearts. And it's by a designer called Claudia Eisenkolb. And I'm loving it. It's a fairly simple V-neck short sleeve top. As I say, it's in a sport weight, which was deliberate. I essentially acquired at Christmas, but had very much steered the choice of a sport weight yarn. I have enough to make a top, possibly a jumper, you know, long sleeves. I think I probably do have, but I certainly have enough for a short sleeve top. And I want something in that weight that I can wear in this sort of weather. I don't know if you're in the UK. If you're not, it's curious weather at the moment. Recently, we had a week of beautiful weather, really lovely t-shirt weather. And now, again, it's chilly and it's minus what have you first thing in the morning, so very typically British weather, I think. And I wanted a top that was not a really thin, flimsy, red hot weather kind of top, but a top that you would wear on one of these days when you might want a cardigan, not sure, just a little bit of something to give you some warmth. And this has been a great choice. I'm really, really pleased with it so far. It's a top down raglan, so you start off knitting flat. and you're knitting in sections. You break up the sections with markers, and essentially in the middle you have the stitches that are going, that you're starting on the back of the neck. That center section is the back of your neck up at the top by your hairline, and so that's your center section of stitches. Then the two to each side of that are for your sleeves, and then you are dealing with a section just at the front that is going to be your V-neck. And I totally accepted what the pattern was telling me, but it wasn't until you get to the point where you're joining for the round that I finally understood how all these pieces would come together. And it was just the band around the edge of the V-neck that was throwing me a bit. I hadn't quite worked out how that was going to happen. So you knit flat until you get to the point where your V-neck is going to meet. And the front section and the back section are in stocking stitch, and the sleeves are in a reverse stocking stitch. So that's when the purl bumps are on the outside and the smooth stocking stitch is on the inside. I've come across that once before. If you were listening around Christmas time, I made a pair of socks for a friend of mine. Sorry, brief pause there while I just nipped onto Ravelry to double check what they were called. They're called the Mistake Braid Socks. And the sole on those is done in reverse stocking stitch, so that next to the foot you have the smooth stocking stitch, and on the outside you have the purl bumps. And these are designed to be a slipper sock. They're knit in Aran, so you have a combination of the smoothness against the sole of your foot and perhaps the extra robustness of the purl stitches against the floor. And the friend for whom I made them has been absolutely delighted with them, and every time I've gone to her house she's been wearing them, which I don't think is deliberate. I don't think she's not that organised in the nicest possible way. So you've knit flat to this point, and then you join at the point, literally the point of the V-neck, and from that point onwards you're knitting in the round. And you put your sleeve stitches, such as they are, onto a marker, a stitch holder. I got some for Christmas. I think they were from Tiger. Lovely colours, bright pink and bright blue. Only they've got incredibly pointy ends. They're these stitch markers that are like giant safety pins, like kilt pins, which I wanted specifically because my other stitch holders are long straight. They're about 4 or 5 inches long. And when you're knitting a project where you have a long straight section that needs to go on a holder, they're actually a particularly good design. They're ancient. They were with a load of stuff that my mother gave to me ages ago, so I haven't got a clue who made them or if they have a particular type of name, but they're really good. But they're not good for this because the end of the sleeve is kind of wobbly and floppy, and it would really get in the way if I had it on a rigid straight stitch marker. So having them able to curve themselves round the shape of a kilt pin type, I keep calling it a stitch marker, a stitch holder, is just it just fits better with how this knitting behaves as you're handling it. But these ones I got from Tiger, the if you imagine with a kilt pin, you have the end, the pointy end sticks through the kind of the hasp, and I've stabbed myself with it a few times and it's bloody sharp. But now I've knit down, you cast on in the middle of your knitting to make the underarm stitches, and then you knit down from there. So I've knit down probably about 14 or 15 centimetres now, and there are some decreases around on the edge seams. They're not real seams. There's a purl bump, a purl stitch that you put in the centre of the underarm on each side, and this is a faux seam, but it's also one of your landmarks, and you do your decreases around that so-called seam stitch. So I've done a few of those, and they're designed to be heart-shaped. And it's all going really, really well. I can't remember if I was talking about this last week. I don't recall if I'd actually cast on. But where I was doing some of the initial increases and decreases, yes, I was talking about it now. I remember, because I was talking about doing a different type of increase. And although it wasn't doing what the pattern said, it was the right decision, because the pattern was asking for make one left, make one right, and I won't rehash it all, but I was explaining last week that I'm a bit cack-handed with that. So I decided to do my preferred increase, which is knit front and back, and I also brought it in a stitch. So rather than doing it across, well, at the point where there's a marker, I did it one stitch away from the marker, and that just made all the difference. The knitting is, I say, tighter, not in a bad sense, but it's not all kind of open and loopy, which it was in the earlier parts. So that was the right decision, even though it's departing a little from the pattern. It just looks much neater now, and I'm happier with it. And the fact that the increases aren't pointing in a certain direction is really, it doesn't bother me at all. I'm much happier that the knitting is neater rather than literally following the letter of the pattern. So now I'm part way down, sort of getting towards, probably towards the end of the rib cage, because you're knitting from the top down towards the bottom. But the problem I've had, and it really came to a bit of a head yesterday, is I've been knitting so much that my hands are getting quite painful. I have experienced this before with knitting, but not to the point where I've only been able to do a couple of rows at a time, but that's the point that I got to. Because it's been the Easter holidays, children are off school. Also, we've had the Easter long weekend. This year we've not gone anywhere or done anything at Easter. It's been unusually quiet, and I've had a lot of time to catch up with this, and I've just been overdoing it, which is a real shame, because I think, you know, left to my own devices, I feel like I could almost have it finished sort of by the end of the week. But if it's going to carry on like this, we'll have to see. But today I'm not going to have so much time for knitting, although I'm taking my son to a swimming lesson later. That's my traditional knitting time. So if I've not done anything else all day and I leave it till then, I'll have had not quite 24 hours, because I did a bit yesterday evening, but I'll have had certainly quite a break since yesterday evening, and I'd like to think that I'll be able to knit for half an hour, 45 minutes without too many problems. Because I can see the progress that I'm making with this top, I'm so keen to get it finished. Never more have I realised what a process knitter, not a process, sorry, exactly the opposite, what a project knitter I am. I so want to get this finished and wear it. And I really want to see how the shaping is actually going to work out on me. Because although it, you know, I'm really happy with the way it's working out, how it looks, obviously actually putting it on to myself, that's really the acid test. I've had some interesting technique moments so far with Hertz. I was explaining last week that there were one or two things I'd not come across before, such as I can't remember the exact acronym now, but it's something like purl in the front and knit in the back, or I don't know, something like that. It's there's knit front, purl back, and then there's the opposite way round, and I had to look up films for that, so that I think I put those in the show notes last week. Since then, I've looked up on Very Pink, I looked up her backwards loop cast on, and that's incredibly simple. In fact, it's so simple that I kept having to watch the video because I was quite sure I'd missed a step. But what's that kind of quick thing she does with her finger there? Yeah, that's the bit I'm missing. It was just my imagination. It's incredibly simple cast on. And it's a cast on that you do when you need extra stitches partway through your knitting. So at the point where I was sort of, I'd put the sleeve stitches onto a stitch holder, and I had to knit across from just before where the sleeve stitches began to just after where they'd finished. So to create the stitches to fill that point, I had to use the backward loop cast on to cast on 13 stitches. So I used a Very Pink video for that. Also, I looked up making one on the purl side, making one left on the purl side and making one right on the purl side. I looked them up, but I imagine probably, I think I managed to do the make one left, but the make one right, I just couldn't get my needle through the yarn because I was being too cack-handed, and I was kind of pulling it as I was trying to do it, which is a problem I come across quite a lot. But I looked those up. They are on Knitting Help. But the other thing that I've done a few times on this, I was explaining that it's mainly stocking stitch, but you have this purl faux seam down the centre of each underarm going from that point all the way down. And once or twice, and I purely blame watching TV, for this and just losing concentration at the critical moment. Once or twice I have put that in the wrong place, which is ridiculous because you're knitting through this absolute wilderness of stocking stitch. There's so much of it. There's something like 380 stitches in the round. You'd think you'd spot the two that stick out as different, but I think when I'm not particularly concentrating, I just maybe thought it was a slightly tough stitch, one I'd maybe slightly fumbled on the previous round, so I missed it a couple of times. But fortunately, I realised within about five or six rounds each time, when I actually woke up and paid attention, I realised what I'd done. So again, I looked up a Very Pink video for correcting this. And if you've knitted a pearl, if you've purled a stitch where you should have knitted it, essentially what you do is, just like picking up any type of stitch, you get to that point again in your knitting, and then you drop the stitch, and you drop it as many rows down as you need to correct. And then you use a crochet hook. You just, if you have purled when you should have knit, instead of having the yarn in front of your now kind of loose stitch, you just put it behind instead. And then you use a crochet hook and you just tuck it round and under all the way up to the top, knitwise. There you're fine. And I don't know what the formal technique is. I don't know if there's something clever you're meant to do it the other way around. But if you've knitted when you should have purled, all I did was drop the stitch back down to the right point, and I simply worked on the wrong side and did exactly the same thing. And so I ended up with the purl bump on the right side. That's such a handy little technique. A really, really, really useful. It exposed the limits of my crochet hook collection. I'm not a crocheter. Although I do now know, through the Woolpack charity knitting group, I do now know a couple of people who are really excellent crocheters, so that's going to be very useful. I don't need to be so put off by projects that have an element of crochet in them, because I now know I've got someone I can go to and ask, which is tremendous. That's been a real little bonus for me of going to the Woolpack. So those are the elements of technique that I've had to check up on, or just go and remind myself, or meet for the first time, which has been very useful. But funnily enough, even though I've had to go and check out all these things, the actual pattern, it's relatively straightforward. There's huge amounts of straight stocking stitch in it. So I would say with this pattern that if you're now feeling very confident, well, very, maybe that's too strong, but if you feel that you're pretty confident now with techniques, you've got the hang of pretty much all the standard stuff, not the curiously unusual once in a while things. It was funny that I noticed on a few things that I looked up, it was prefaced in the video, in the help video or the help tutorial, with, "This isn't called for very often, but..." So I know Claudia Eisenkolb will have had a very good reason for doing that, but I was just being, you know, being a bit naughty in some instances and preferring to use a different way of achieving the same end, but, you know, less elegantly, of course. So I would suggest this is a good technique. If you've done a little bit of cable, I'll explain why in a minute. If you've done a bit of cable, if you're used to knitting in the round, and you're happy taking on a project that has hundreds of stitches rather than a, you know, a sock or a glove or a hat, then I would suggest that this is not a bad one to start with. It's a lengthy, you know, because it's an adult size top, it's not an evening's knit. But if you've got a lot of time and if you're not suffering with your hands, then I don't see why you couldn't get this made in a week, which, when you're moving on to a new level or a new type of thing, it's always very pleasing if it comes up quickly. You're not spending weeks thinking, oh, you know, how is this going to turn out? So I would recommend it from that point of view. The reason I mentioned cable is that when you join the two edge, neck edge bands at the front to turn it from knitting to the flat to knitting in the round, there's an element of cable in that. And it's not difficult, but the first time I did it, I had the wrong number of stitches left on my cable needle. But I was doing it in a few minutes before I went up to read to my son, and I think it was just bad timing on my part. When I had done all that, and he was in bed, and I came back down, and I was able to just completely concentrate in total peace and quiet, I got it right. So I would suggest to be used to handling a cable needle and taking stitches on and off a cable needle without worrying too much, without that being anything anything that's alien. You don't want to meet too many new things in a project. A couple of new things, fine, but with something like cable, I would say knit a hat or some gloves or something with a little bit of cable in it first, just so you're just totally used to handling a cable needle with your other needles. And also, when you do the decreases underneath the arms, you also use a cable technique for that. So there's just a little bit there. So overall, I mean, I haven't tried on the finished object yet, but overall, I'm really, really happy with this project, and certainly so far, I would recommend it. I wanted to talk briefly about dressmaking. If you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, you'll know that I am really terrible at sewing. However, since I've been out there with this podcast and I've been looking at what other knitters are making, I've seen a lot of people who, as well as being incredibly good knitters, are also dressmakers. I mentioned a few weeks ago an Instagram user called Sarah Guthrie, who makes all sorts of things. She's made men's clothes, as well as making clothes for herself and her daughters. So these are shirts, dresses, skirts, things like that. And they're lovely. And I'm not under any illusions that even a simple item of clothing is complicated. The minute you have cuffs and buttons and plackets and all that sort of thing, it gets complicated. But I've just found myself thinking more and more, I would love to be able to do that. I've historically not enjoyed sewing, and I've not been terribly good at it, but yesterday I made myself do several things. I had a bra that was falling apart at one point, but literally all it needed was stitching. It was nothing clever, so I did that. I sewed up one of these fold-up shopping bags that I actually find really useful. I've got a couple in my bag. One of those had gone on the corner, so I sewed that up. And there was something else I stitched up. I had a vest. I live in camisoles all year round, really. In the winter they're under my clothing, and in the summer they are my clothing. And I had some where, as the strap meets the back, as it goes over your shoulder front to back, it had just come away from where it met the back, and it was a perfectly good black vest. It wasn't worn anywhere in any way, you know, as in worn out. It was just that the stitching had gone, so I sewed that up as well. So terrific, I've got another bra in use, another vest in use, and I've got another bag in my bag. And I didn't mind doing it, and I was more patient with it. And I think perhaps part of the problem is that the sewing that I tend to have to do is terribly pedestrian. It's name tapes, and it's cub, and when my daughter was in brownies, brownie badges on jumpers, and I just don't enjoy that type of sewing terribly much. But I found myself becoming more interested in doing a basic dressmaking project, and I looked up what the general advice is on beginner projects, and I came across a few places the suggestion to make a wrap skirt. Now that's the kind of thing I'd love to do, and I saw other suggestions like aprons and so on, but I don't need any more aprons. But another skirt, yeah, that would be terrific. So I've mentioned before, my mother is extremely good at sewing. She's done qualifications in it. She made party dresses and things for me when I was a child. She made herself a pair of trousers for a wedding 5 or 6 years ago, lined trousers. She's incredibly good, and probably, sadly and wrongly, I've never shown any interest. But I find myself now thinking, oh, you know, she would have a tremendous amount to teach me. I think also perhaps part of the problem is that all the sewing I've done has been by hand, and I think even she would agree that that can get a bit tedious if you can use a sewing machine, which she has. I think she has 2 or 3 sewing machines. So when they're away at the moment, but when they're back, I'm going to ask her if she would help me to make a wrap skirt. So that could be fun. This isn't going to turn into a sewing podcast, because lots of other people do that much better than I do, but I might just mention my progress now and again, if nothing else, because I really thought I was a leopard that would never change my spots when it came to sewing. But I think what matters is that the interest in doing it is there, and if you've got that, everything else should follow. Thank you very much for listening. I'm sorry this has been a bit one track today, but it's a bit like that when you're working on a big project. I now have to scoot. I have to leave in 15 minutes to take my son off to an Easter holiday bicycle skills session, so he should enjoy that. And then they're swimming afterwards, so it's very much an afternoon of being mum and racing around and getting haircuts and school shoes and all that kind of thing. So thank you very much for joining me, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye.